Today is a special day. What is today? The Chinese New Year. So happy the Year of Tiger. Thanks for Pastor. Thanks to Pastor Kurt leading us to do the communion. The communion symbolizes that God, Jesus, saved us, give us a new life. Jesus doesn't only save us, give a new life, just like the New Year, new starts. Doesn't simply just save us a new life, but also give us a victorious life. So today, I would like to speak on this topic, leading a victorious life. Everybody wants to be victory. Everybody wants to win. Nobody wants to a loser. I remember several weeks ago, my son and I were watching the game, how the UFC is beating at that time Kentucky. Kentucky at that time was ranked number one in the nation. Basketball team, Kentucky was ranked number one, and USC beat them. So, victory! This guy's from Kentucky. So in daily life, we want to gain victory, and in spiritual life, we also want to gain victory. As we know that, the theologians tell us that from the Bible, we can systematically think that actually salvation comes from three stages. The first stage is called justification, whereby we're giving new birth. Position-wise, we are already saved. That's our position. But in us, there's still a lot of weaknesses that God has to deal with us. So the second stage is sanctification. There's a good start, and your position in God is secured already. But God's work has not stopped yet. It's keep going on in our life, sanctification. And finally, when we face Jesus, that's glorification. So salvation comes in three stages: justification, sanctification, and glorification. And you know that the notes are already on your bulletin in case you want to drop some notes. And this is not an easy path. Here is when we receive Christ, and there is glorification, we face God. And in this path, there will be a lot of struggles, ups and downs. Some people will struggle a lot and keep going up and down and getting nowhere. Some people, learning from the lessons, will go faster, but they still will fall sometimes. And how do you get there? It's go there by not by your own might, but through the help of Jesus, our Lord Jesus, so that we can lead a victorious life to glorify His name. And what's the purpose? The ultimate purpose is to be more and more like Him, more and more resembling Christ Himself. That's the sanctification process. So there are three stages of salvation. In these three stages, I think there are two E's. To achieve this sanctification process, this sanctification process, I can think of two E's. What are the two E's? For God to help us to reach that stage, there are always there two E's. One is E, the first E is exercise. The second one, what's the second E? The second E is examination. I'm a professor. I like to give exercise. And also, if I want to examine my students at the end of the semester. So let me use these two terms, exercise and examination. So when I teach a course, I teach to my students, I give them lectures, and I need to give them assignments so that what they learn, they will practice in the daily homework, exercise. And by the end of semester, what do? I give them a final exam. And then they know that how well they do. They either fail or they succeed. When they succeed, they'll be promoted to the next grade. If they fail, what do? They will remain at the same level. That happens to schoolwork. In spiritual area, we also have spiritual exercise, and spiritual examinations. What is the spiritual exercise we're talking about? It's a daily devotion. It's a day-to-day work that you learn the Word of God. Not just you learn the Word of God, but apply to your life. So you know the truth, at the same time, you obey the truth. And this is a daily practice, not just one time. And you have to train your character one by one, day by day. It's a long-term process. And every now and then, God will give you an exam. So whether you can pass the exam depends on whether you do the homework. So if you do not have a good daily devotion habits, and when you all, even when you read the Bible every day, but you seldom think about how it applies to your life, when exams comes, most likely you'll fail. So let's talk about examinations. Our focus is on the latter part, the spiritual examinations. I'm going to pose two examples to you to show you how God is going to let Satan sometimes to test us. If our own good, two examples I'm going to use. One is in the Old Testament, the other is in the New Testament. The first one has to do with the Adam, our father. The second has to do with the Adam of the New Testament. Who is he? Jesus himself. So let's talk about how do we succeed. I'm a pretty tough professor, but I'm very nice to you. So before the exam, I usually give my students some tips how to prepare for my exam. So this time, I'm going to give you an example how to succeed and pass the spirit examination. So let's examine here. I'm going to ask brothers and sisters to read this out together. Let's go. Now, continue please. You will not surely die. This is the first test mankind face, has to do with Adam and Eve. Came from Satan. Satan came to test. According to the Bible, Satan came in the form of serpent. The serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord has made. So he came to test Eve. How did he test Eve? He first talked to the woman. Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Here you can see that. I can see when Satan tried to test Eve, the first things that he saw is something inside Eve, what I call desire. Let's see what is the desire inside Eve. What's the desire? Because the women saw that the fruit of the tree was good. It was good for food and what? Pleasing to the eye. Not just that, she took some, and also desirable for gaining wisdom. So Satan saw through Eve and understand her desire. The food pleasing to the eye and desirable for gaining wisdom. So he proposed something. What did he propose? He started asking questions. Hey, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? He started conversation. Now Satan was very smart. He did not say that. Hey, God is not right. You should not eat all these trees except the tree of knowing the truth. Okay, the wisdom. But God really say you must not eat from any tree. He deliberately changed this, so that he can start the conversation. And what did Eve respond? Eve said, God said, you must not eat fruit from a tree that's in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it too. Did Eve answer correctly? Did she answer correctly? Half correct. The first part is correct. You must not eat from tree from the tree that's in the, and she added, you must not touch it either, or you will die. She added something already. That's what God only said, that for this tree, you should not eat the fruit. But God did not say that you cannot touch it. And Satan is half successful already. Satan is not a creator, but he's very crafty in bending the truth a little bit. And then he go on, and what did he say? Oh, you will not surely die, the serpent said. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And then the woman, Eve, took the fruit, and so did her husband. Through this trial, I can summarize that actually, there are three tactics used by Satan in testing us. What are three tactics? The three D's, what I call the three D's of Satan's strategy. The first one, usually when you face a test, and this is an example that we see that how mankind failed the test, to fail this spiritual examination. The first D is desire. Satan knows the desire of Eve, pleasing to the eyes, the fruit is good, and also desirable for gaining wisdom. So he suggests something, delusion. To do that, simply just eat it. He suggests something. He tried to bend the truth and cast doubts in the mind of Eve. And when Eve fell into this, she sinned and she started declining. So these are the three D's I call the tactics of Satan. First, usually, she would identify inside us what our desires are. And then, instead of following the truth, the right way to achieve this desire, desire is nothing wrong. It's the using, you have to use the way of God to achieve the desires. But instead of using the true way, Satan asks us to take a shortcut. It's a delusion. You go this way, you get faster. When you follow the suggestion, of Satan, you sin. And you start declining. You get separated from God. And Satan was successful. Satan was victorious, not us. Delusion, that's the key word. I remember one time I listened to Dr. Roy King of CIU. He delivered a similar message. And he used a very good example. And till now, I still remember the example. It's a very vivid example of this. How many of you have been to Disneyland? Raise your hand. Okay. Or Universal Studio theme park. Quite a few of you already. Okay. If you've not been there, go there. It's a lot of fun. One time I went to Universal Studio and also Disneyland with my son. You know that when they have this game, the theme parks, there are a lot of games. Fun games and also fun shows here. And one time when you go to one of the rooms, this is very dark, whereby people just sit on the seats here. This seat is specially designed where the seat can shake, goes up and down, left and right, suddenly up and down, right, left and right, okay? And in front of you, there's a big screen. And the screen will project something interesting. For example, one time when I get into that theme park, and the show we're showing is Back into the Future. Have you watched the Back to the Future? Yes? Okay? Very interesting movie. So it shows that in front of you that they're riding on a plane or something that rise quickly and then you drop quickly and drop quickly down. And then what happened? The same time when you see the screen, the scene, and what happened? The seat also elevates. When it rises, the seat also get up, and when it goes down, the seat suddenly drops down. So what do people do? Especially women will just scream, wah! It's very scary, right? You look at a scene, you're dropping down. So you just, wah, just scream. Suppose I'm sitting there, I wah. And Pastor Kurt, suppose he's just sitting on the other side. He did not see the screen. He did not see the screen. He did not see. What he saw, what he see, is just me sitting there, and then ups and down, and wah. And what would Pastor say about me? Chuck is crazy. And that's delusion. This is what we call delusion. This is nothing real. It looks like it's real, Satan is very good in doing that. Satan is not the creator. He creates nothing. What he can create is illusion. Something that will fulfill your desire by doing shortcuts. Not following God's way, but his way. That's not his way. He's bending the way. Giving a shortcut to achieve your desire so that you decline, you fall. In Taiwan, you know that there's one idol type of idol worship, whereby people just worship idols, and to attract followers, these idols actually, to empower this evil spirit to worship, empower people with the followers, give them special power. What kind of special power do they give? That is, those followers, sometimes when they worship this idol, they will hit themselves with knives, sword and knife. In their worship service, they worship this idol and then hit themselves with knives. And amazingly, there's no blood. They do not hurt themselves. In Hong Kong, even when I was young, across my building, on the other side of the building, I can see that some evenings people just come and then worship. And then I see it loud, I heard loud sound, and then they struck themselves with knives. As if they would not have hurt at all. Amazingly. But interestingly, later on, newspaper reports, somehow some people would die on the street. Die sudden death. And then their bodies, they would see a lot of scars. And blood came out from those scars. Brothers and sisters, those are just illusions. Satan is not the creator. He can just bend the truth to give illusion, to bypass the truth, and to achieve your desire so that you sin against God and get separate from God and you decline. So what are three D's? First one, desire. Second one, delusion. The third one, decline. Let's look at an example of success. Let's earn an example of failing. Now let's look at the sum of success. This has to do with the New Testament, with the Adam of the New Testament is Jesus. Let's see how Jesus succeeded this temptation. Okay, let's read together. Then Jesus was led. Please. Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him." Then and angels came and attended him. So let's analyze this second examination. It seems that mankind failed the first exam because they did not do good exercise, the homework. So Eve half know the truth and then fell into the trap of Satan. Now let's see how Jesus handled this examination, special examination. Verse 1, he says, then Jesus. Who led Jesus? The Spirit. Can you say, amazingly, the Spirit led Jesus to be tempted. The Spirit led Jesus to be tempted in the desert by the devil. It seems that the Spirit is working with the devil. The Holy Spirit led Jesus to be tempted by the devil. So all these spiritual examinations, actually God is still in control. You know what he's doing. He allows Satan to test us for our own good. So Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. So let's use the three D's again to analyze this case. I teach business. In business teaching, one of the very easy useful methods is to use case analysis. We use actual case and analyze situations. So let's use this case to apply what we learned, the three D's. The first D is the desire. Now, Satan's way is actually very simple. Always the three D's. Desire, delusion, and decline. So let's ask you, what's the desire that Satan saw in Jesus right now, in the first temptation? He was hungry because he was there fasting 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry. So Satan knew that Jesus was hungry. There's a desire. Desire for food because I was hungry 40 days, 40 nights. Of course I'm hungry. So Jesus was hungry. So Satan says, I know you're hungry. You have a certain desire to kill your hunger. So I give you one way. The delusion came. What did Satan say? The tempter came to him and said, oh, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. It provided a way. It put a way to fill his desire. So that when he did perform some miracle, he can cure his hunger by telling the stones to become bread. This is not God's way, but it's a shortcut. And Jesus surely has some power of miracle, right? He can do that quickly. It's a shortcut. But instead of falling, what did Jesus say? How did Jesus fight this temptation? Let's read together. Jesus answered, let's read. It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So, how did Jesus resist the temptation? By knowing the good. By knowing the word. By quoting the scripture. Not only did he quote the scripture, but he also obeyed the scripture. So back to our practice. If you do not do spiritual exercise day by day, you'll fail in the exam. Jesus does his spiritual exercise every day. He's very familiar with the Bible. At the same time, he tried to apply this biblical knowledge in his daily life day by day. He trained his character so when exams comes, he succeeds. He resists by doing that. He quoted about preachers. It's written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. It was successful. He can quote the true way, and then so on. He decided to obey the true way. And Satan, of course, will not give up. Then comes the second one. What did Jesus say? Then the devil took him to the holy city and let him stand on the highest point of the temple. And he said, if you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Hey, Satan also read the Bible. So when you read the Bible, be careful. Don't read half the Bible. Satan also does that. Because Satan is very good in doing half-truth. If he's doing a lie, you can detect the lie very quickly. The most dangerous thing is half-truth. So read your Bible systematically. Otherwise, people just pick some words and say, oh, do it God's way. Pick it out of the context. And this is what Satan does. He's quoting Bible. If you're the Son of God, you can do that because it's written. He will command his angels concerning you. And you will not hurt yourself. And this is what Satan do. Now let me use the three D's again. What's the desire of Jesus here in the second temptation? We're doing case analysis again. What's the desire? The first one is very clear. The hunger. What's the second? What's the second desire of Jesus as we view in this temptation? What's the desire? To me, the desire of Jesus, he wants to be recognized as the Son of God. Because for this reason he comes to save us. For those who recognize he's Son of God and dying for us will be saved. He wants people to recognize he's from God. He's the Son of God. And then Satan said, oh, if you have this desire, you want to be recognized as the Son of God? Very simple. He said, throw yourself down. Then you can prove that You're Son of God. Because it's written, if Son of God, then you have the power. And then you get the recognition of being Son of God right away. You don't have to go through this path of suffering. Very simple. Just do this. Just jump down. That's a delusion. If Jesus fell into that, Jesus will defeat his whole purpose of coming. He will decline. And we decline, he will not save us. Satan was very crafty. He is willing and clever to use the scripture to tell us. So if you do not do a good homework, when you have things you haven't, you just pick a pet words. Oh, this is what God tells us. If you do not do homework, half study, just like my students, before the exam, they cram the exam by studying several nights, and they still failed. Because they did not apply that to their daily life. It's not part of them. So, hey, see how Jesus succeeded. And Jesus answered, let's read together. It is also written. Okay, that's all right. It is also written, Jesus said, don't just read part of the Bible. It's also written. Look at the Bible in the whole context. Put all the words together to look at the full meaning. It is also written, do not put God. This is not necessary. Why do you need to do that? When you do that, you're putting God to test. It's not necessary. I can, of course, perform miracles when I need it. But this is not necessary. When you do that, you are testing God. So he succeeded again. Again, he knew the truth. He used the scripture. And also, not only he was familiar with the scripture, he also practiced it, applied to his daily life. It becomes of him, part of him. So when Satan created this, he was very quickly to respond. And Satan, of course, will not resist. So Jesus succeeded the second time. Let's look at the third time. And Satan tempted Jesus. Let's read again, and verse 8 and 9. Let's read together. Again. Satan said, okay, it's all right. Okay, that's it. So Satan took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. Case analysis again, the three D's. What's the desire of Jesus? That Satan saw through him. The first one was hunger. The second one was being recognized as the Son of God. What's the third one? That he came for his kingdom. So, if you came for the kingdom, why go through all this trial, all this time, all these unnecessary things? Just bow down and worship me, and I'll give it to you. It's not necessary to go for all these unnecessary things. Again, the desire to come for his kingdom. Again, Satan provides a shortcut. Just bow down. And this is all yours. And if Jesus did that, he failed. And he declined. Instead of doing that, what Jesus said? Away from me, Satan, for his reason. Again. Quoting scripture, the truth again. Only worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Not you. Only God himself. For it is written. Again, Jesus is very familiar with the scripture. He quoted scripture, and it's part of him because he do it daily. He applied it daily. It's part of him. So when Satan attacked him, he could respond quickly. And then obey. Go away, Satan. Did Satan go away? Yes, he left him. In this whole process, actually God is in control. God allows Satan to come to tempt Jesus, but God also set the boundary conditions, the boundary. You only test Jesus up to a certain stage. And when he succeeds this test, you must be gone. So, go away. Then Satan left him. And what happened? Interestingly, what happened? The angels came and attended him. So through this example, what do I learn? I can learn that there are three tactics used by Satan to tempt us. What are the three tactics again? One, desire. Second one, delusion. The third one, claim. Against the three tactics of Satan, we have five tactics. Suggest, okay? Five tactics to resist Satan's temptation. What are the five tactics? One, truth. I call it togi. My short form is togi. It's easy to understand, easy to remember. The three D's and the five. The five is togis, okay? The first one is the truth of God, the God's word. That is, you have to do your exercise, daily devotion, read the Bible. Not just read the Bible, apply to your life. So, you know the truth and you obey. Cultivate a habit of obeying God's word. If you, in your daily life, you half obey, or sometimes just do not listen, that become your character of not obeying. Then when Satan comes, when temptation comes, when trials come, when tribulations come, what happens? You follow your old character. You don't obey. You got to cultivate the habit of obeying God's word. Apply that to your wife, your life, and become your character itself. Become a routine yourself. So when trials come, you can just follow your patterns and resist that. So the first one is truth. The second one is obey. The third one is that when you are successful in resisting Satan, what happens? Then the angels will come. Satan will not attack you forever. After a while, he has to go, because that's the boundary condition set by God. After this, what happened? Then the angels come. Then you experience the wonder of God. When they care for you, you experience God's existence. Not just listen to His word, but you experience God Himself, experiencing God. And through this experience, what happened? You grow spiritually. Remember the path? You get promoted. Go to the next grade. You get promoted. And then what? And through your action, you exalt the name of God. You lead a victorious life. And victory is Jesus. You don't just rely on yourself. You rely on His word, His power. You gain victory against Satan. You lead a victorious life. And through that, you grow. You grow spiritually. Not just grow, more and more deeply you experience the existence of God Himself. So the three tactics, again, these three tactics of attack Satan, we have five. Remember which five? One, two. Second one, obedience. Don't peek. Third one, experiencing God. Three, four, grow, spiritual grow. Fifth one, exhortation. Togi! I call it togi. What if I failed? You know that Satan also have the other two ways. The ways that Satan works is that if you know his way, it's easier. Just like if you know the tricks of examination, it's easy to prepare exam. Satan also have two ways. Before you sin, Satan is very good in shrinking things. Have you watched the movie in Shrinking My Kid? You always want to shrink things, minimize. Oh, it's all right. If you do just a little bit, disobey God, that's okay. It's of no consequence. He tried to minimize things. And once you fall into a trap, you decline what happened. Then he exaggerates. Oh, you are a sinner. Don't go to God. God don't love you. Doesn't you love you anymore? So Satan is very good in bending the truth. He shrink and it expands. Before you sin, he said, this doesn't matter, just taste a little bit, just a little bit. When you taste it, you sin, oh, you're bad, don't go to God anymore. That's not the truth either. So let's read John, 1 John 1-9. If we confess our sins, and you really sin, repent and come back to God and ask forgiveness. and God will forgive your sins and purify us with all your righteousness. You can start again. In closing, let me give you an example. Quite several years back in our student fellowship, there's a couple. The husband is a master's student in the engineering school, and his wife came from China to accompany him. You know, as a wife, staying in the dormitory, not knowing the language very well, get very lonely. So she herself would like to apply for graduate school, studying here at USC. Her husband was working a lot of hours in the laboratory, so she felt very lonely. So what did he do? He said, she also would like to apply to the business school. She asked some tips from me because I'm a business professor. She would like to prepare for GMAT, GMAT test, and TOEFL test to get admission to USC. She studied very hard. One day, she discovered that she was pregnant. Pregnancy really disturbed her plan. Because if she is pregnant, she could not study as hard. And what if the baby comes? The baby comes, it all complicates all the things. Financially, there will be a bigger burden. And how about who will take care of the baby? There's a lot of time involved. So she came up with an idea. An idea is very common in China. What's that idea? It's abortion. Simple way, right? Shortcut. If you have abortion, all the things just get solved quickly. And then you what? You can go back to your original plan, study hard, get admissions, and achieve a degree. Simple. There's a desire. The desire of being successful and gaining admission. Now it's an interruption. An unwanted baby coming. So, what's the delusion? Shortcut. Abortion. Shirley and I, knowing this, we went to counsel. We pointed to the scripture. According to the scripture, even if it's in there, your womb, it's a living thing. You shall not kill. Abortion is killing. And a lot of people, after they have abortion before, they regret. A deep psychological scar lasts for a lifetime. And also, they have trouble in getting pregnant anymore. So we counsel her, and she struggled. She struggled for a long while. What happened? She succeeded. She decided to obey God. She says, okay, I obey God. So she gave birth to the baby. And I remember that day she gave birth to the baby. A sister went to the hospital to visit her. And this sister said, how wonderful this baby in her arms. I could not imagine that I kill her. Such a wonderful being, living being. The love just flowed naturally from this mother's heart. If I have performed abortion, I regret for the rest of my life. Desire. Don't want their light to be interrupted. Delusion. Get away. Abortion. Then if you do that, you sin against God. And there are a lot of consequences. Instead, I tell her the truth. What did God say? Truth. And then she decides, after a lot of struggling, obey. And they obey, what is it? Then experience. When she sees the newborn, she experiences the love of mother. The love, the creation, the wonderful creation of God. And she grows. And there's victory for her. For Ham family and for God Himself. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, God, for leading us to have a good worship service. May your word be elevated. May your name be exalted in our life. You don't only save us, You want us to lead a victorious life for your name's sake and for us, so that we will be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ, and to face Him in the future. Thank you. Bless all these youngsters here. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.